is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
This is Liz from East Coast Printing, and I'm here with my son, John, because the holidays are all about family.
We'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday Season from our family at East Coast Printing to you and your family.
And don't forget to visit East Coast Printing online for all your printing needs at eastcoastpress.com. We always turn on a dime, and we offer free delivery anywhere on the South Shore.
That's eastcoastpress.com.
When you're in need of short-term rehabilitation after surgery or an acute illness, you have a choice. Your primary goals are to recuperate and return home. Hi, this is Wilma Rizal-Bilton, Rehab Director at Life Care Center of the South Shore. Our subacute services program can help you return home as soon as possible. Our social workers, nurses, and physicians work closely with occupational, speech, and physical therapists, providing excellent care in a comfortable, home-like environment. Visit us and experience how we can meet your specific rehabilitative needs. Life Care Center of the South Shore is just off Route 3A in Scituate. For more information or to schedule a tour, call us at 781-545-1370. 781-545-1370.
Contracted with all major insurers and a preferred provider of the South Shore Physicians Hospital Organization, it's Life Care Center of the South Shore, doing whatever it takes, and then some.
Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we return for the final segment. Again, we thank Jane Velez Mitchell, media journalist and a best-selling author, for being a part of that last segment. That was a great segment, as Jeff and I were talking about some of the content in that, and we kind of cruise forward as we kind of set everything up for this segment. Joining us right now, a gentleman who has been on the show a number of times, a good friend and a valued guy when it comes to talking about the automotive industry, Mr. Junior D'Amato. How are you, sir?
Well, Mr. Tachi and audience and everybody, good evening, and how are you?
I'm good, and joining us is State Representative Jeff Deal. He's sitting in to take the place of Joe Rossi, who actually had to attend a meeting.
The Chrysler man is not there. Well, good evening to you, sir.
Yeah, you know, he's saying hello.
And I've got a Ford, so hopefully a Ford's acceptable.
You know, the old saying about Fords, it's first on race day or found on road dead. There you go.
Well, now,
makes it easy.
Now, I will tell you that when we do get to talking about some of the vehicles that you've test driven, my producer and midday show host Larry Nelson is going to chime in. He's a guy who appreciates Jeeps, both the Wrangler and the Cherokee. So he'll chime in and talk about that when we get to that later on in the conversation.
You know, you mentioned the Mustang. I forgot all about. We had a 2015 Mustang, a couple of them back to back, about three, four weeks, whatever it was ago.
Yeah,
and we had the people from Detroit brought three or four of them up to the Middleborough garage there, where we have all the cars in our press pool, and took a couple out for a ride. It was kind of rainy that night, unfortunately, so you really couldn't do too much with them. But a couple of things about the new 2015 that I noticed immediately was the rock solid hard, H-A-R-D ride. It has independent rear suspension, and the vehicles we had were pre-prototypes, and the suspension on them was pretty stiff. The seats were certainly super comfortable and made for people to jump in and drive the car. Very supportive. I think you're going to get a lot of big hellos and hoorays for the new Mustang. It was really a nice car to drive, and again, very well thought out. It had what they call a tachometer, which everybody knows what a tachometer is.
Mm-hmm.
It also had, between the tachometer and the speedometer, an air ratio gauge or a meter, which is dealing with perfect fuel economy, perfect fuel mileage. Unlike a vacuum gauge, it's called an air fuel meter that we put in race cars to measure the actual difference between the oxygen outside and the oxygen inside. inside the engine. Very, very well thought out. And the whole thing was just a nice car all around.
What was your impression? Have they changed anything up with the drivetrain, whether they're under the hood or transmission-wise?
Everything has been changed on the car for 15. And a lot of the 15 stuff is changed dramatically. Like I had a new Subaru today, and one of my Subaru clients just happened to be in, and he says, "Ooh, a new Subaru." He says, "Wow, I haven't seen one of these yet. Can I sit in it?" I said, "Here's the keys. Take it for a ride." He says, "Well, it's got Illinois plates on it." I says, "Yeah, it belongs to Subaru of America." He says, "You've got two of them. They'll understand." And he says, "I'm going up to the dealer right after I get out of here. I'll tell him I drove it. Do you have a price list on it?" "Yeah, here it is." He took the price list up to the dealer and went up and he bought himself one. And it was the $30,000 car, $30,400, and it is a wonderful 2015 Outback with all the bells and whistles. Amazing.
Junior, this is Jeff Deal, the state rep, and I actually represent Abington, Whitman, East Bridgewater. I think you know this guy, John Lawler, who's got that place in Middleborough where they showcase some of the cars?
Yes, he's... I've only known John about 35 years.
Yeah, so just casual friends. Yeah, I get it.
Those are all our cars come from.
Yeah, and he allowed me to come in there a couple times. In fact, the governor-elect Charlie Baker actually came to an event and stayed for an extra hour to walk around and take a look at how cool that place is with the old soda shop built in there. And
I was there that night.
You were there? Okay, great. So
hear a real quick Charlie Baker story?
Please.
Him and I have beaten up back and forth. I had no idea who this guy was, right? He's telling me all about building a Mustang and all this other kind of stuff. And he says, "By the way, what's your name?" He says, "It's Junior D'Amato." "What's my name?" "What's your name?" "It's Charlie Baker." I says, "Oh, Charlie, what, you write for a newspaper company? What are you doing down here? You're repping a company?" He says, "No, I'm running for governor." I says, "Oh, congratulations. This is the biggie." I says, "What state?" Everybody I know, that we're together with and associate with us. You got to vote for this Charlie Baker guy. He's just like us. He gets dressed one leg at a time.
He does.
Unbelievable, serious person this guy was. I mean, here we are going back and forth for 20 minutes. I had no idea who this guy was, even what he was doing there.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy he is. And John Lawler, the same thing. Puts his pants on the same, you know, just like we all do. I mean, do anything, shirt off your back, anything. Helps me with my parades, with giving me a car to use. It's great. So, yeah. Good people.
Yeah, in fact, these cars that I get, and as Kevin knows, for the past 30 years, I've been getting from John.
Huh.
So it's pretty interesting. He's part of the New England Motor Press Organization. We're also part of the International Motor Press Association out of New York.
Yeah, I told him if he needs to have me ferry a Lamborghini somewhere up to Maine or something, I'm happy to do it.
I think you would be in love to do that stuff. But, you know, the whole thing with these cars that we get to review and talk about, it's pretty amazing. And it's not only, I think, a big privilege to be able to do this stuff, but we can bring you the very best and the very worst of all the cars that are out there. Right now, most of the cars are pretty darn good.
Yeah. Well, so now, one other thing I think you're going to talk about, because obviously the weather's starting to change, is winterizing the vehicles, right? I mean, people have to start looking at that.
Well, in the old days, you know, it was, let's put the snow tires on, let's do the points and plugs, let's change the antifreeze. When's the last time we thought about points and plugs? When's the last time we thought about changing over to snow tires? When's the last time we thought about any of that stuff?
It's been a while. What about shocks? Do people need to fix their shocks once the winter's over, or potholes, things like that?
What's a shock?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we basically have what they call struts in cars. And, you know, I just happened to be looking at a box of struts and shocks today, and Monroe still has this song and a dance, 50,000 mile replacement. I think that should be 150,000 mile replacement, because most of this stuff doesn't need to be replaced as it did in years gone by. What does wear out in today's cars are the sway bar links and sway bar bushings, which most people don't even think about replacing. Those are the inexpensive things that make the big difference. The rattling and the banging of the bumps.
Yeah, I had a Wrangler, Jeep Wrangler, and the sway bar broke, and I actually was able to fix it myself. But if you knew me, you'd say that's pretty amazing. But, yeah, that was one thing I was able to fix.
Let's go to the Wranglers real quickly. We just got out of two Wranglers. In fact, we're starting a TV show. It's called Talk About Cars, and we'll give Kevin more information on that.
Mm.
We have six more episodes to get done, then we'll be able to start airing it. But we had a couple of Wranglers back-to-back, and the one thing I did beat up on the Wrangler Rubicon edition because of the tires. I just didn't like those tires on the car at all. They were noisy, caused the vehicle to ride very hard. It's made for off-roading. And then I says, give me another Wrangler without these tires. They gave me another Wrangler that was same two-door without these big, silly mud tires and wheels on it. And what a beautiful vehicle it was. So I says, do you think you can take these tires and wheels and put them on the Rubicon?
Yeah.
And they said, no. But it was really amazing. The Wranglers have come so far over the years, number one. They're still bringing crazy money in the used market. And for 2018, if Joe was here, he'd say an aluminum body with an 8-speed transmission, a smaller V6 with more power. That's what's coming down the road.
I guess I have to. Now, you said you did. You test drove two Wranglers
back to back.
All right. How about How about Cherokees? Did you have any? How many Jeep Cherokees did you test drive?
We had one Jeep Cherokee, and I remember the price was right around $35,000. It was a top of the line Cherokee gasoline model, not the diesel. And it's more like a lady than a man, which means the car was absolutely phenomenal.
Wow.
You can get in and out of it. The big thing about these vehicles, okay, the Wrangler's a bit tough to get in and out of it if you're a short person. The Subaru, we just did that on for the TV thing. We did a film on it. And it's only 8.7 inches of ground clearance, which is quite a bit, but it still is very easy to get into. The Grand Cherokee and the Cherokee both, they've lowered the entry height by making a seat adjustment on the vehicle and a floor adjustment, yet still giving you a lot of ground clearance, which is a big deal today for Jeeps.
Now, I had mentioned Larry, who is the midday host here on 95.9 WATD, also does our talk shows. Larry, any questions in regards to, because I know you're...
No, but I have a few things about, because I looked at the Cherokee. And we're talking the new Cherokee that is not the Grand Cherokee, but the Cherokee.
Yep.
And the commercials say, 30-some-odd miles to the gallon. But when you get to the dealership, they don't get 30 miles to the gallon. The only one that gets 30 miles to the gallon is the front-wheel drive one that's stripped down and has these little tiny little dinky tires on it.
That's
and
right.
Who in the world is going to buy a front-wheel drive Jeep? It's a Jeep. It's supposed to have four-wheel drive.
Right.
Who are the idiots making these decisions in that realm of Jeep? I'm disappointed. Totally disappointed.
Corporate average fuel economy. That's why they have to have it number one.
They got three different models. They have three, every one of them.
Right.
Every single one of them gets different gas mileage.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, there's a thing called truth in advertising. The ad says 30 miles to the gallon. You get to the dealership, they got two different models.
Yep.
One's got a 6, one's got a 4. And then I don't know if they, the small one has a diesel now.
And then, are available on
and then
all
they
of
have,
them.
And then they have
Italian diesel.
And then they have several different models. Now the model I want is this Iron Hawk or whatever the hell it is. It should have a bird on the hood for crying out loud.
That's the one that was called the Trailhawk. That's the nice one. That's the one I just got out of. I think it was $37,000.
Yeah, it's got the right tires. It's got the right
miles per gallon.
It's got the right transfer case on it.
Mm-hmm.
These things that they're not made. They're not Jeeps anymore. They're not rugged. They're not Jeeps anymore.
Larry, are you more of a Wrangler guy?
Or
are you
want more of a shift that I shift into four-wheel drive, not some dial button selection thing. If I wanted that, I'd go buy a Lincoln.
But would you be...
I think that, Larry, you have to take a big, deep breath and look back where these manufacturers and the people that are designing and making these cars, they don't care about you anymore, Larry.
No, they don't.
They care about the regular public.
Yep.
Or me, my wife, or somebody that's... Let me ask you this here. 90% of these Jeeps never go off-road. Okay, never. And the majority of these people drive them back and forth on the highway, back and forth wherever they have to go, soccer mom people, and all that kind of stuff. Now, if you want to go off-roading, that's where you have to get a heavy-duty version of a Jeep or a Wrangler. In fact, you really want to just get your hair turned up underneath now. They're not sure what they're going to do with the new 2018 Wrangler, whether it's going to have two straight live front and rear axle, or it's going to go to independent rear suspension or independent suspension all around. They're not sure about that yet.
Crazy.
Because of people like you, which is a good thing because you want to keep the heritage into the trucky truck Jeep. Well, the trucky truck Jeep may be just available only now for the Wrangler. It may not be available for, the average Joe that wants to get a Jeep that has either all-wheel wheel drive, a four wheel drive, or just front wheel drive. Now, one thing you have to understand, with Chrysler or Fiat working together, a lot of these Jeeps, like that Cherokee, the Trailhawk, or some of these other ones, the only time it's an all wheel drive vehicle, while it's being driven on the regular road and the temperatures are above freezing and the windshield wipers aren't on, that vehicle is actually in a front wheel drive mode. As soon as the temperature drops or someone puts the windshield wipers on, it automatically goes into all-wheel drive. And yes, there is a separate lock button for the transfer case to lock it in, which a lot of people don't realize, and a lot of the dealerships don't even realize what I just told you.
Yeah, a lot of people, they don't know what they have. The Wrangler four-door and two-door and the select models is outstanding for that vehicle.
The trouble with the Wrangler four-door is it looks like a baby Hummer. It's a square box.
The
two-door version looks more of a sporty Wrangler, like it always did.
Yeah, and one of the things is some people, they want to be able to take the top off, but they have nowhere to put it. Now, in the last few years, they've done a split top, hard top, so that the front part comes off, and the back part stays on it. And that's awesome.
Front section.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And that was always an aftermarket thing you could buy. A hard top for those and the fiberglass, but I do like the four door and the two door Wrangler.
It's one of those things. You really want to fry your best part of you? the new Cherokees that they're coming out with or whatever they're calling it. It has two separate sunroofs, and
the
engineers goes, who the heck is going to want to have to take this particular roof off and stuff it underneath the spare tire? That's in the back of the
vehicle.
It's
got to be convenient.
But it sounds like the 70s with T-roofs.
It does.
Yeah, well, that I didn't care for, the both of them, but that's the way it is.
If I can kind of distract you for a moment, you also said you had test-driven the Chevy Colorado. What is that like?
Colorado and the new GMC version, its sibling, are absolutely phenomenal.
What are those takeoffs? Are those remakes of the Suburban, or what
no,
are they supposedly
these are,
like?
These are the old S10 Chevy pickup truck and a sibling now, which were all, you know, not the best in the world.
Yeah.
Now they've gotten serious. They've really made it fabulous. I had one for 10 days there about a week or two ago. And again, we're priced in the 30s, all loaded up with bells and whistles. The four-door version I have with the long bed was, you know, a big vehicle. It wasn't a small vehicle anymore. What they've done, they've taken a Silverado, they've narrowed it down, and they've made it a little shorter, and they've given you everything you could want inside it, included a big 7-inch touchscreen audio system that you can talk to in case you get lonely, and it'll change the station for you. And if that doesn't, well, you don't talk to that, you can talk to Veronica on OnStar, and she'll tell you all kinds of wonderful things. And it's just an amazing vehicle with heated seats, in high quality, both leather and fabric. They really did a nice job on this vehicle.
But what does items like that add to the bottom line? I mean, what would be the cost of the vehicle without the fancy gizmos and the OnStar?
Start in the 20s, low 20s, and then go right up to 35 grand without batting an eyelash.
No kidding.
Yep, the one I have was 34 and change, I think.
Now, you said you also did a test drive with the Infiniti QX50, right?
Yeah, the QX, remember, Infiniti's really got me in circles. When Infiniti had their numbers and their numbering system, their model system, like a QX50 you would think would be a 5-liter, or a QX35 would be a 3.5-liter. Well, they don't have a 3.5-liter anymore. It's now a 3.7-liter V6 with around 300-odd horsepower, and the QX50 has just that. And these cars now think for themselves. They can communicate with one another, which you haven't been able to see yet because they haven't let that into the public yet. But these cars have the ability, once they, you know, approve everything, where they'll actually talk to other cars on the road.
Oh, goodness.
They can stop themselves. They have lane departure. Like some of these cars that we try to go from the left to the right lane if there's a car next to you, or, you know, it's checking those strips on the road, the little yellow strips.
Yeah.
When you go to turn the wheel, it actually will fight you. If you start to, like, pretend you're falling asleep and drift to the right, as soon as you start drifting and the little sensor picks up the yellow line on the right-hand side. It starts beeping and the wheel starts vibrating. The seat can vibrate, as well as the wheel will not let the wheel normally, on the normal effort, turn to go off the road.
Is that called the mother-in-law?
It's pretty amazing what they've done. It really is. Then we have the active braking on these cars, which means if you're getting too close to the car in front of you, a lot of cars now, like the Scooby-Doo, the Subaru, it will actually stop the car. We have done a lot of these tests down, really, even at John Lawler's place, by putting cardboard boxes out in the parking lot and driving the car, or trying to drive the car into the cardboard boxes.
Wow. Hey, Junior, the other thing, too, is we had a guest just before us that was talking about Christmas gifts, maybe not going crazy shopping for too much, but you got something here that looks kind of cool. Maybe something to give to my wife or my mother-in-law. A battery jump that's pocket-sized, about $100. Is that worth it? What do you think?
Let's go back a couple of years or 5 years ago. A little battery jump box was about $300, and it would take two people to carry around. Now we have them. I just happened to see them at the box store last night with my lovely darling wife.
Hi, Carla.
$79
$59?
For a battery jump box that will start the car, number one. It will charge your cell phone. It has a little light in it. And a year ago, these little units were about 180 buckos. Now they've come down to $100, $99, and now they're on sale for $79. I think it was either Lowe's or whatever. What's the other one they have there?
Home Depot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I happen to see it at Lowe's, but they have it. Sears has some of them on sale. All the big box stores have them. And these things do work. The one thing, once you open it up and you read the directions, as soon as you start that car, within 10 seconds, they want you to disconnect that battery jump box, or you could burn it out.
Oh, yeah.
Because it takes a very slow charge, and that battery jump box that we're talking about for under $100 will start probably four or five cars before it needs to be charged. And you always want to charge it from the little charger that you plug in. It's a very slow battery charge. It's a... with the lithium ion batteries, whatever you call them.
It's like a trickle charge?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really, really, really nice unit.
And it can do a cell phone?
Your cell phone,
yep.
And all that other stuff.
I got to ask you, having somebody who has shops in Middleborough and Hyde Park, I have to ask, what's some of the things that you're seeing more and more in your shop this year?
Unfortunately, it's engines that need replacement, Kevin. It's a very sad situation. One of the main reasons is because no matter what kind of a car you have, when it starts running low on oil, before that light usually will come on, unless you're looking at an oil pressure gauge, which, what is an oil pressure gauge?
Yeah.
You don't see them too often. The engines Nothing are going rings. Bad because people are not getting their oil and filters changed, Enough. And they're not checking the engine oils like they should. I've got a car, I don't have to open a hood until my 5,000-mile oil change interval sign comes on. I look at the sticker up in my windshield, and that's what it says. It's really, really sad. Mm. The other thing I'm seeing is a tremendous amount of brake lines that are rotted, and it doesn't make any difference what kind of car it is, whether it's an import or a domestic. The brake lines on these cars with the inexpensive or poor quality metal, we're seeing failures on brake lines on cars that are, 10, 11 years, 12 years old, and we never saw this, and we still don't see this on cars down south. It's only cars that are in this sand and snow belt area getting the snow.
And this is a change of philosophy with the automakers, or is it using a different type of a metal for?
Using different types of metals, and unfortunately, it's a lesser expensive metal. And what we're using now, where we used to always use a steel line of some kind, now we use a nickel-plated line that is very, very good. And we haven't had any failures. Some of the brake lines that we were using in the past that we held on to just to see what they look like, even in the shop, without going outside in the weather, you can see the stuff corroding in about a year. Huh. So it's really crazy. The other thing is that people really need to take a look at things like the antifreeze, believe it or not. And one of the things people always... How much is your oil change, Kevin?
Well, it depends on where you go. It should be about $40.
Yeah. Well, there are some companies advertising oil changes for $15.95. Yeah. And the reason why they're doing that is because they're using 50% new oil, 50% 100% recycled oil. And you don't want to get into that.
And they don't tell you that? Or do they tell you that?
Oh, when you get to the 1595 and they tell you what's going on, they disclose it. But, you know, when you hear it advertised or you see a sign, you really don't get to understand it until you actually see what's going on. And they tell you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And there are many different types of engine oils out there, and you want to make sure that you use the engine oil that is specifically designed for your vehicle. You can really never go wrong with synthetic oil unless you have an older car, a resto rod, or something that has a flat tap or camshaft that needs to have zinc additive in the oil. And if that's what your car needs, you can buy zinc additives. But this is only for older cars. It is not for newer cars. And there are some racing synthetic oils that have the zinc already put into it, which is good.
Otherwise, Mobil 1 synthetic's fine?
All the time. Yeah. And if you have a race car that has a flat tap or camshaft, Mobil 1 racing oil has zinc in it.
Huh.
But you have to be careful. And if you're not sure, you can buy a pint of zinc additive and put it in. You can never get in trouble. And you never want to use a zinc additive on a car that doesn't warrant it, like a late model car, because those cars are designed not to have zinc, phosphates in the oil.
Right.
All kinds of crazy stuff out there.
Well, Junior, I got to thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, Mr. Kevin, it's always a pleasure.
We got to get you back on probably in January to talk more. January, maybe late January, early February.
Whatever you want.
Anything you want to say in closing?
I think it's been a great half hour. We had a lot of fun just going back and forth. People have learned quite a bit. If you want to read any of our Q&A columns, just go Google Junior D'Amato and you can read all the newspaper columns that we've done. And if you want to rehear this, you have to go to WATD to their archives, and Kevin will tell you how to do that.
What a plug.
Well, I was going to say, I believe on Thursday edition of usually most of Gatehouse Media's newspapers, whether it's The Ledger or The Enterprise.
Yeah, we're in there too. Yeah,
I want to say in the sports section. Usually that's where you'll see there's like a little, seven to 12 inch column that'll have, the car doctor, Junior D'Amato, and has, the Q&As. Can't miss it. Yep.
But, all right, guys. Happy holidays to you and your family and all that good stuff. And stay warm. And if we do have any ice on the ground. Oh, one last thing real quickly, Kevin.
Yep.
With the last snowstorm that we had about a week or so ago up in our area anyway, people need to clean off the bottom of the windshield wipers prior to putting them on. Or maybe if you know it's going to snow, lift the wiper arm up and let it stay up all night long, because you don't need to go for windshield wiper arms, motors, in the wiper transmission assemblies. They get pretty expensive.
And you're seeing a lot of those lately?
I had 5 this week.
Wow.
Yep. And I can tell you, Nissan Rogue, a new Nissan Rogue, it's like $190-odd for the pivot and wiper transmission assembly.
Wow.
That is less the motor.
Wow.
Wow.
All right.
Good advice. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
All right. As always. Good night, gentlemen.
You got it. And that's another Monday Night Talk, Representative. Thank you very much for joining us.
Kevin, thanks for having me.
You got it. And that's it. Till next week at 6:15. Have yourself a great evening.